And I'm back there listening to the worship and just listening to all of it going up to God. And with all the chaos and all the confusion and all the nuts that's going on in our world, all I could think about is there's 3 billion people right now around the world celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we're a part of. So that's really cool. But I have to tell you, you know, you look up here and you think, oh, this is Pastor Joe. He's like, you know, got it all together. Yeah, no. See, my friends went to Bible college to learn the Bible, and they went to learn how to preach and things like that. If you heard my testimony, I went to Bible college to play baseball. Yes, that's correct. And that's sort of what kept me going for a good while before I decided to get serious. But what really kept me going is there was a group of guys there that specialized in practical jokes. And when I got to thinking about this, I could spend all day up here telling you some of the jokes we did, but we didn't have limited time, so I will tell you but one. We had this relic of a vacuum cleaner in our dorm. Now, the dorm's 3 floors. The guys upstairs were spiritual. They're up till 2 a.m. studying, praying. The guys in the basement were frightening. They had one room had a V8 in it. They were rebuilding in the middle of the semester. And then the jocks were on the 2nd floor, and they let me come. And so my friend said, hey, we got this old vacuum cleaner. Now, have you ever seen one of these? But not only do they suck in, but you could hit reverse, and it'll blow out. Now, I don't know why they built them that way. Don't send me an email, because it's not that important. But my friend said, you know, if we filled that bag full of baby powder, and then with just a few adjustments, we stuck it underneath the dorm door and hit reverse, we could blow all of that into the dorm room. Nobody got hurt, but man, was it fun. That was a good joke. And my same friend, he called me the other day and he goes, hey, you still into practical jokes? I'm like, well, yeah, if I can, you know, walk to it. And he said, well, I got this idea that we would disguise ourselves as luggage. And we'd go to the airport and we would just sit around and kind of see what's going on. And I said, well, I'm okay with that, but let's not get carried away. Do I get booed from overflow as well? I can't tell. Okay, all right. All right, so we're in John chapter 20, and I picked this particular story. There's dozens we could have used for the resurrection, but I love how John tells it, and because he shows it with all of the humanity intact. I'm going to show you why, if you were trying to pull off a false narrative here, you'd have never told this story, okay? So in one sentence, here's what I want to share with you. You and I will never understand the cross of Jesus until you understand that you were the one who put Jesus there. He died for us. Maybe you're brand new to this. Listen, our goal is for you to go home knowing about Jesus. You may not know the whole story. You may not get all of it. You'll know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And you're a broken person. I'm a broken person. And we all need Jesus, okay? That's why we're here. If you're a first-time guest, stop out of guest services. If you need to make a decision, talk about Jesus, go out to room 3. But this is what it's all about. And if you'll stand, we'll read John chapter 20 and we'll get rolling. So Jesus has died. If you want to keep score, pretty good estimate, April 3rd, 33 AD at 3 p.m. Jerusalem time. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and, see who wrote this? Okay, so I want you to watch how John refers to himself. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus... And he said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed, parenthetically, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You can be seated. All right, we'll start with Mary. Mary Magdalene is a woman with a very checkered past. Mary Magdalene was used and abused by the men in her culture, and Jesus comes along and preaches hope and forgiveness for her, and that there's a place for her in the kingdom of God, and that everything can be made new for her. That's the message we all long for, right? And Mary has grabbed a hold of this, and now her Jesus has died. And she gets up early in the morning to go out and see where they've buried him. You know where the disciples were? Anybody? You were just there. They were asleep. They're all asleep. The guys that knew the whole story, they knew what was supposed to happen. They're sound asleep. But Mary got up because she loved Jesus so much, and she went to find out what she could do. Could she leave oil or whatever? And she comes running back saying, "They've taken my Lord." Now here's the good news. Here's the core of this. Nobody can take Jesus from you. All right, that is a message for the whole world to hear. Nobody can take Jesus from you. Can you walk away from Jesus? Yeah. Can you throw Jesus away? Yes. But if you decide, no, I'm gonna come back and get serious, Jesus will be right where you left him. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Mary Magdalene's the perfect example of that. And because she was forgiven much, she obviously is the one that loves much. Here's maybe a little thing you can put in your head. Jesus left his place to come to our place so he could take our place. What a savior. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, "We are not the playwright, we're not the producer, we're not even the audience. We're on the stage." And that's what John and Peter and Mary all find out at the same time. Wow, this is happening. This is right here with us. But I don't want you to think that somehow somebody can take Jesus away from you. And that was the message that Peter and John, when they find out that the tomb, the stone's been rolled away, the tomb is empty. And again, here we are, billions of people, 2,000 years later, all celebrating the event of all human history. And don't be afraid, because nobody can take this away from them. They can strip everything else away from us, but our faith remains rock solid. Then we get to the fun part. And this is John and Peter. As soon as Mary says this, something goes off in their head. And they jump up and they run. And again, you just can't, the humanity part here, okay? Let's go back to Mary first, okay? If you are writing a narrative in the first century in a Jewish culture, and you want your story to be believed, you would never, ever, 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 times 10, ever have a woman be your witness. Because it would mean nothing. And who's the witness? Mary. You wouldn't write that. You just wouldn't have put that in print if you wanted this story to be believed, unless it was true. Peter and John, they get up. It's so important. They go running to the tomb because something just seems like maybe there could be some truth in this. But then again, the humanity of it. Now, why is John called the one Jesus loves? Because John was the only one that stayed at the cross. Do you remember that? And Jesus looked down and said, "Behold your mother." And for the rest of Mary's life, Jesus' mom, John, will take care of her. She will die in the city of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. But John will take care of her. So he refers himself in that way. Now, is he joking? Is it arrogance? I hope it's joking, because that's the way I see it. He's poking fun at Peter, and he says, you know, I outran him. Well, he's probably, if I'm right, Peter's probably 35 or 40, and John's 20 or 22. So I would hope John could have outran him, but John seems to make it important that we know this. And Peter's like, okay, big deal, you beat me, but who's ever going to know? And John says, oh, I'll make sure everybody knows. You know, here we are 2,000 years later still looking at this. But what is the significance of it? The significance of it is the humanity. Why do I need this? Well, the answer is I don't need this. But when it's a woman that brings me the testimony, that's powerful. When these two are able to tell the inside story, it wasn't just, okay, two guys got up, went to the tomb. No, you see the humanity in the whole story. But the point is this, that it was so good that they ran for it. It was something, if this really happened, this is not something we can take or leave it. I can do church, I can not do church, either Jesus is who he said he is and he's worth everything we've got, or he's not, okay? And it's news worth running to hear, and Isaiah said it this way. He said, let me preface this. Maybe you came in today, and we prayed for you this weekend. Maybe you're broken. Maybe it's a marriage, a family, your finances, your kids, your grandkids, all the above. And you're looking for a reason. Give me some hope to go on. That's what Mary was looking for. And Isaiah said, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And then the Hebrew writer put it this way. We talked about the 3 billion people around us plus the billions that have gone before us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Because if this story is true, it's worth running for. But then the last part, the parenthetical statement. It said that John and Peter still did not understand that Jesus had to raise from the dead. Now, I go back and look at Scripture, and read John's gospel. It was written later, but John tells over and over again how Jesus said, hey, I gotta go, be back, gotta go, be back. Now look, I get it. If I told you, listen, I'm gonna die Thursday, but you go ahead and come back next Sunday because I'll be here. I can see why you might have distrust of that, but you've never seen me raise people from the dead. You've never seen me heal people with blind eyes. You've never seen me have a lame man get up and walk away from me, but they've seen Jesus do all that. And here's what Jesus actually said. Here's one of those moments when Jesus made this statement. He said, no, back one more, the scripture. We'll get there. Well, Jesus said that I will be back again. And when I come back, your joy will be made complete. Now, John wrote those words, but he heard Jesus teach that. And he's like, wow. So Jesus was telling them, I'll be back, I'll be back, I'll be back. And something in their head said, maybe this is worth it. And it was worth running to check it out. But in that last section, in that parenthetical section, we come to you and me. And they didn't understand it. There's things you and I don't understand. Some of you have heard this story a million times. Today, some of you, maybe it's the first time. Some of you watching online, maybe it's your first time. It's okay. Guess what? We all had to hear the story for the first time. How many of you remember how bad you were and when you first started following Jesus? Yeah, yeah. Remember, I went to Bible college to play baseball, all right? So when my friends are out living life, eating pizza, I'm in the dorm studying because they're like, well, how do you not know this, dummy? I'm like, I wasn't in Sunday school. I wasn't in church. I don't know. So these basic classes that they were all acing, I was busting my tail just to survive in because I was brand new. Listen, start where you are. The bottom line is this, if you've not accepted Jesus, I know Jesus is true, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. You talk to folks out in room 3, meet us at Andy Romano tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a huge baptismal service down there. There'll be teaching, there'll be answers to all of your questions down there. But don't worry about what you don't know. Take what you know and say, okay, where do we go from here? Then that's the church's job. That's when we come in behind that and say, okay, we'll help you. We'll get you into classes that will help you learn the Bible. We'll get you into classes that will teach you how to pray. Everybody has to work from where they are because even Peter and John didn't realize about the resurrection. So I want to finish with this, and it's several slides, and we're going to read it together. Y'all are good? You're good? Sometimes you look like a photo. I have to be careful. My daughter said, you guys look like one big Easter egg. It's just pastel. It's a very, very interesting look there. So let's just read this together. Maybe you've seen it on the internet. 3 men and 3 crosses. Here we go. 3 men, 3 crosses, 1 hill. 1 man cursed, 1 man prayed, 1 man promised. 1 died condemned, 1 died forgiven, 1 died innocent. One died in sin, one died to sin, one died for sin. One was held by death, one was released by death, one conquered death. One lost life, one gained life, one was life. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, and praise God, we have eternal life.